believer that your inner world is reflected into your outer world. And so in most cases, if you want to improve your situation, you've got to work on yourself. With that, what I'm going to do is turn the call over to my business partner, Mark Scovern. For those of you all who have not had a chance to meet him, Mark is an intensely powerful life, business, and leadership coach. He's shown thousands of people how to make powerful changes and get far more meaningful results in their lives, careers, and businesses. Having taught breakthrough and developmental technologies for decades, Mark's one of the world's leading authorities on success and personal achievement. Mark's training and expertise in the practice of ontological coaching distance him really miles ahead of anyone that calls himself or herself a coach. Mark's a person that believes to help others, you must be willing first to invest in yourself. And Mark really is someone who walks the talk by personally investing thousands and thousands of dollars over the years in books, CDs, seminars. It's been amazing. I've known Mark for going on almost 24 years, and I've not seen anybody who reads more, who invests more. You can't outspend him when it comes to investing in your future. And so tonight you've got the ability to be able to reap the benefits of Mark's experience. So I hope you get yourself into a quiet spot, turn off your phone, turn off your family, if that's even possible, but just really take the distractions away and make sure you're here and you're not just here, but you're focused on the information. So with that, what I'm going to do is turn the call over to my friend, my incredible business partner, Mark Scovern. So take it away, Mark.
Jeff, thank you very much for your gracious introduction. I, too, want to welcome everyone to the call tonight. These calls have been just a pleasure for me to do. Very exciting to be prepared to do these calls for you and with you, to partner for your success. And, yes, Jess, just like you said, we've gotten a phenomenal amount of responses back, lots and lots of great things occurring in people's lives as they take this technology and they put it forth in their life. Let's go ahead and jump in to You Were Born Rich and find out just what that can mean to you tonight. First, just very quickly, let's review the major points, just the very major points from sections 1 and 2. We want you to consider that money will have a greater influence on your life than almost any other commodity that you can think of. We want you to know that most people either overestimate the importance of money in their lives and allow its attainment to displace equally or even more important objectives such as family, relationships, spirituality, or health, to name a few. You need to know that the subconscious mind is doing its job all the time to keep you from considering something that will call into the daylight and cause you to question things that you perhaps have held as truths for many years, even decades, that your lifetime. Things that, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps are not true, the truth at all. We have encouraged you to decide exactly how much money you want to earn, how you want to live. We wanted you to decide exactly what the amounts of money are specifically for. It's not enough to say, I just want more money. We've encouraged you to visualize and affirm, I am wealthy, money is good. And we've also encouraged you to affirm, I use money, but I love people. Money is my servant. See, money is nothing more than just a vehicle, a source of energy. I like to say my own personal affirmation is money flows to me freely and effortlessly and constantly from many sources, and I always do the right things with money. You need to understand that if others have done it, you can too. And we've encouraged you to develop a disciplined mind and a disciplined level of activity. Also, last week we talked about image making and that it eliminates competition from your life. By moving from the competitive plane to a creative plane, you become more powerful. Most people use their image-making ability in the wrong way most of the time, which is why most people have created lives with many elements in them that they wish were different. Everything that ever has and ever will come into your life is a direct result of subconscious image-making. Therefore, it's critical for you to become masterful at image-making on purpose. And now that you know everything that you do or receive is first preceded by an image and that you actually created it, you can have more power in the creation of it. Now, if this is true, that makes you the mental architect of your own destiny. Remember, all these are just points from the previous couple of lessons. As it relates to money and being rich, as the course title describes, you must understand that money is at all times a reward for service rendered. I love this principle. Money is a reward for service rendered. If this is true, and it certainly is, then the money that you have or don't have, quite frankly, is an outer world reflection on the value of the service that you provide to the marketplace, to your community, and even to the planet. This is very sobering as a revelation. One of the best quotes is a quote from the Course, is my own quote, and that's, keep your mind on a higher image rather than a lower concern. Jeff and I were talking about this just earlier today. Keep your mind on a higher image rather than a lower concern. We've encouraged you to combine your image making with a conscious decision to let go and let God, not as a religious thing or a dogmatic thing, but as a spiritual thing, as a universal law. You see, everything you see in the universe, yourself and your life included, is nothing more than the expression of an infinite power that's acting upon your creation. So you don't get to blame the things you don't like in your life on God. That doesn't work. See? The power is flowing into and through you, and at its purest level, as far as scientists can tell, it's energy. We often refer to it as spirit, but it can actually be measured. Okay, another one of my favorite quotes regarding this is talking about faith. We talked about faith last week. Faith is the ability, this is the way I define faith. Faith is the ability to see the invisible and believe the incredible, and that is what enables believers to receive what the masses think is impossible. Again, as it relates to money, the mind is saturated with fear or failure or images of unwanted results. No wonder a lot of people can't get ahead. You can no more accomplish or create or produce anything of value if you have those images in your head. You must realize that the Creator will not alter the laws of the universe. There are laws in the universe that are in place for a reason, and the Creator will not step over those laws or alter them just because you want something and even if you need something. Now, once you become keenly aware of your kinship with this creative power through both your image-making and your partnership with God, universe, spirit, however you want to look at it, you cannot possibly be anything other than powerful, forceful, radiant, and self-reliant in your future dealings with the world. So what we're going to do now, that's a recap of the previous lessons. And what we're going to do now is continue with section 3 of You Were Born Rich. And tonight we're going to be talking about two great subjects of this course, two of the best subjects in my opinion. Number one, we're going to be talking about accepting an abundance, how to accept an abundance. I know a lot of you out there right now are saying, hey, I'm ready to accept it. I was ready last week. I was ready years ago. I'm ready to accept it. Well, we'll do a checkup from the neck up and see if you are or not. And then we're going to talk about the law of vibration and attraction and how they work together, okay? But let me start off tonight with tonight's section. I'm going to ask you all a question. Exactly what are you doing to increase your income? This section, this course works all about, becoming aware and awareness of your right, of your entitlement, the fact that you were born rich. But what are you doing to actually increase your income? You say, well, I'm here on the course. I'm working a home-based business part-time or full-time. That's great. That's awesome. But let me get right to the crux of the matter very quickly. I don't want to fool around. I want to talk to you tonight about what you need in order to manifest what it is that you want. So what I'm going to be telling you is what you need in order to manifest what it is that you want. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say if you don't have this, you will not manifest what it is that you say you want to have. And that is expectation. Expectation can be the triggering mechanism which attracts into your life every good you desire. However, and listen very carefully to me, if you do not exercise extreme caution, expectation can also turn just as rapidly and has for many people into a destructive, lethal enemy. Well, that sounds very ominous, doesn't it? But it's true. You see, you must be cognizant of how you are exercising this invisible powerful and constant force. Because you always, I'm going to put forth a premise, listen carefully, you are always experiencing a level of expectation about everything in your life. You always are expecting something, something good, something bad, something in between, something at whatever level, right? In fact, I'm going to say that every Friday when you get your paycheck, or every 2 weeks, or every month, whatever it is, when you get your paycheck and you open your paycheck up, you have an expectation that it's going to be X amount of dollars, right? If you've been working for that same wage for a while at your full-time job, you know what it's going to be. I like to joke with people in good spirits and say, why are you in such a hurry to open it up? You know what it's going to be, right? You know what it's going to say. You have an expectation it's going to read a certain amount. Now, I believe that you already understand, if you've been following us with the course, you already understand you cannot have wealth in your material world, the outside world, until you first have visualized that wealth in your mind. But what does this really mean? It means that before any of us, you and I, can even begin to overcome the poverty which surrounds us in this external world today, we must first conquer the impoverishment that is buried deep within ourselves. You say, now, how do I do that, Mark? I want to do that. How do I do that? Well, I explained how prosperity, and prosperity properly understood, let's clarify this, is simply the inward awareness of the opulence, the wholeness, the completeness that abounds within the spiritual realm. So within the spiritual realm, within all things spiritual, there is only wholeness, okay? So in other words, it's impossible to feel poor when you are conscious of being enveloped in the protective care of a loving God, a universal spirit, or whatever else you wish to call the spiritual center of our universe. Okay, I don't want to get into dogma. You can make that, you can verbalize that, treat that however you want to. But let me repeat this. There never is, and there never has been, a lack of supply other than that which we have created for ourselves because of our own limited awareness. Wow. That stings a little if it's true, don't you think? Now, you know, it stung me a number of years ago, and I'm awful thankful for the coaches and mentors that brought it to me so I could become aware of it. But I want to exhort you, therefore, to resolve to change your habitual pattern of thinking right now. Interrupt the way that you normally think. That's right. Change it now. And remember that the stream of plenty always flows toward the open, expectant mind. See, you must understand that you already have in substance, it just may not be in the physical form, everything necessary to produce prosperity into your material world. The two determining factors for you to attain the results that you want. You know, and you might say, well, Mark, you're oversimplifying this. No, I'm not. Actually, because what I'm explaining to you is not simple at all. It's a daunting task. It eludes and escapes most. But the two determining factors are desire. We've been talking about desire. Each lesson we talk about desire. You've got to want it. I think Napoleon Hill talked about wanting it. You know, you've heard of red hot. You've got to have a white hot. You know, there's red hot, and then there's a heat that's even hotter than red. It's when the fire is white hot. All right? You've got to have a white hot level of desire. You can't just want it a little bit. That's not enough. And see, most everyone wants it a little bit. That does not distinguish you and make you any different from anyone else. So you've got to have a white hot burning desire, and the other thing that you have to have is a level of expectation. And you know, this level of expectation we could kind of link up and call faith, couldn't we? So you say, well, how do I increase that? You know, for years, anyone that's attended any kind of spiritual or religious a type of worship center or learning center, church, synagogue, mosque, whatever you want to call it. I'm not preaching right now. I'm just saying anyone that's attended any of that, anyone that's read any religious books, anything at all, there's all this talk about faith. And I'm not belittling it. In fact, it's very high on my list. But, you know, then the question becomes, if faith is so important, if expectation is so important, then how do we gain more of that? How do we increase in our faith? Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to advance you a decade before the night's over in the next 30, 40 minutes or so. Up to this point, you might have been living the way that the masses live their entire lives. Now, I'm not, by the way, nothing that I say here tonight or teach, I'm not speaking down toward anyone disrespectfully. I'm not being arrogant about it. But I'm going to try to speak without offending. You try to listen and take notes and learn without defending. Is that a deal? See, if you want to live like the masses, that doesn't take a lot of effort. But if you want to live a different kind of life, okay, you have to know that the masses live that way simply because they harbor false assumptions, about their life, false image making, we talked before, and things like that. You must understand, if your desire is not combined with expectation that you will receive what you desire, then you're going to find yourself continually frustrated and disappointed whenever you begin working toward any kind of material goal. See, you may... Okay, now draw in close and listen very carefully. I really want to speak to your heart. See, you may want something and have continued to want something over and over and over again. And it may be a worthy ideal. And on a lot of different planes, you may deserve it. And in a lot of different ways, if you had 100 of us in the room, all 100 of us may raise our hand or silently say a prayer for you and with you and say we'd like you to have it. But you have to have a level of expectation. You see, let me repeat this a different way. Desire without expectation is nothing more than wishful thinking. And the masses have wishful thinking, and where has it gotten them? See, in other words, your ideal, your dream or goal, this wish, this wealth that you want to see materialize can only become a desire once it has been properly planted in the subconscious mind. It's part of the image making. However, once your desire has been firmly established, it's the expectant attitude which ensures that your goal or dream is not uprooted or replaced by any opposing or competing ideas. And ladies and gentlemen, opposing and competing ideas come from everywhere. Unfortunately, they come from your friends. Unfortunately, sometimes they come from your loved ones and your family. Unfortunately, sometimes they even come from the religious institutions that we go to. I mean, I'm telling you that, not pointing any fingers at anyone in particular, but I'm just telling you, if you want something and you know that it's a worthy ideal and you feel synced up about that, you can't let it be uprooted. You must reach the stage in your mental development where you don't just believe that your image of material wealth will manifest in form, but that you actually know that it will. See, that's pure expectation. You know that it will. It is at that point that you will begin to expect to receive the physical expression of your image of wealth. And no one and no thing will be able to cause you to see it in your mind any other way but that way. Always remember, the truth is not always in the appearance of things in the physical world. See yourself moving toward the wealth that you visualize, and see the wealth that you visualize being attracted to you. See yourself moving toward it, and it moving toward you at the same time. Know that you will come in contact with the wealth that is moving to you at the right time. So you raise your hand and say, hey, Mark, about 10 years ago was the right time. No, I get that. I understand. But what we do from here forward is what counts. See, no one knows what period of time must elapse. So don't become impatient if it doesn't materialize overnight. All we know for sure is a certain period of time must elapse, and the period of time which your image must take to materialize is governed by something called the law of gender. Now, in this case, gender doesn't mean male or female. The law of gender decrees that there's a gestation or an incubation period for the manifestation of all seeds, let's say. And make no mistake about it, the image of wealth you choose to build on the screen of your conscious mind and then turned over to your subconscious mind is a seed. It is a seed. And it is growing into physical form in the most fertile field of which you could ever conceive. It is not necessary at this point for anyone else to see this new wealth, okay? It's not even necessary that other people agree with you, Don't worry about that. Don't go around looking for votes in your favor. It's not even necessary that everyone or anyone believes that you'll receive it. The only thing that's necessary is that you see it and that you believe it. You see, since spirit, universe, God, energy, whatever you're comfortable with, since spirit is flowing to and through you, you are the instrument. Let me repeat that. You are the instrument. Therefore, the image or the ideas you hold in your mind will actually dictate the limits which are placed on the spiritual power flowing to and through you. Spirit is law. And, of course, the law of attraction is a cause. And growth or expansion is the effort. Now, this gets a little tough and a little thick here, I know. Stick with me. Keep visualizing yourself as perfectly endowed spiritual instrument without limitations of any kind. For if you do, you will find it easy, in fact, quite natural, to begin to expect the good that you desire. It will, I promise you, it will become easier and more natural. You will understand that doubt simply obstructs the unfoldment of your desire. So when you continually originate images of doubt, you know you will never see the materialization of the image you desire. You must learn, ladies and gentlemen, you must learn to guard your mind constantly against doubt. You must guard your mind more carefully. Well, you know, it's dangerous territory. You've got to guard your mind like you would guard your children or guard your home or guard your spouse or partner. You've really got to guard your mind that way. And I'm going to tell you that it might be more important to guard your mind than any of those things, to which some of you may take exception to the placement of order of things. But here's what I'm going to tell you, that if you're not in a powerful place, you know, it's like they tell you on an airplane, if the airplane loses, you know, something happens and loses cabin pressure and you're traveling with someone who, you know, is ill or elderly or perhaps young, that what do they tell you? Put your mask on first. Because if you're not getting the flow of oxygen, you can't help the other people, okay? So you must guard your mind constantly against doubt, because doubt is a crippling vibration. And when you are entertaining doubts, you have to know this, what you're actually doing is creating images, image making of the things that you don't want. The instant you become aware, now listen to this, the instant you become aware that you're kind of entertaining doubts, we talked last week, I said thought appears, you know, and all of a sudden you realize you're sitting there and you say, oh my goodness, how long have I been sitting here thinking this negative thought? That's okay. It's really okay. It'll happen constantly. But the moment that you become aware that you're having those thoughts and they're going to constantly come, and the moment you become aware that you're having them, become quiet, start relaxing, and then go back to your positive image making. See yourself immediately. Go back. Just displace the thought. Don't resist it. Don't fight it. Because we have a saying, I like to say, what you resist persists. Okay? So what you resist persists. So you don't want to fight it. You don't want to, what you want to do is replace it. Okay? It's like someone trying to stop cigarette smoking. It's good to replace it. Chewing gum, eat celery, cinnamon flavored toothpicks, whatever. But you replace one habit with another. So replace the doubtful thought, because here's what we know. A negative and a positive thought cannot occupy your mind at the same time. So you replace it with the image of seeing yourself in possession of the prosperity and whatever else you desire. And when you do this, you're altering the mental current. This is an energy thing. You're altering the mental current which is flowing into your marvelous mind. Expect with all of your consciousness to receive your good in your material world. You know, James Allen wrote a long time ago, you think in secret and it comes to pass. Environment is but your looking glass. Isn't that incredible? I love that quote by James Allen. You think in secret and it comes to pass. Environment is but your looking glass. People that know me know that very often I'll say, you know, and I've taught this before in other coursework we've done, other lessons, you know, but a lot of times I'll, you know, people say, someone will come up to you and say, think about this, they'll say, you know what I was thinking? You know, Jeff, you know what I was thinking? You know what I was just thinking? And, of course, Jeff's on this call like all of you are. He's probably laughing right now because he knows what I'm going to say. Okay? And very often, especially with everyone that I'm very close to and my leadership group and my family and friends and people, and sometimes the people that don't know me that well, and they'll give me the oddest looks. I don't use that terminology. A lot of times I'll say, you know what I was just creating? You know what I was just creating? People look at me like, What do you have, like Lincoln Logs or Play-Doh or Legos? Or what are you talking about? You building something in your garage? What are you talking about? No. You know what I was just creating? And you know why I say that? You know why I use that terminology? Ladies and gentlemen, everyone on the call, hundreds of you listening to me right now, I use that terminology to not for, well, for you. If I'm talking to you, I say, hey, Jeff, you know what I was just creating? But to remind myself primarily, selfishly, to remind myself that my thoughts are creative in nature. So, you know, a lot of people, sometimes my buddies that don't get me, I have friends, relatives that don't quite get me, and they give me, you know, a little bit of a hard time about it. Doesn't matter. See? But it's a great reminder. You know what I was, I challenge you. If you don't walk away, listen, everyone on this conference call, hundreds of people from all over the world, listen very carefully to me. If you don't walk away with anything else from this call tonight but this, walk away with this. Stop using the phrase, stop saying, you know what I was just thinking, or I was just thinking, or you know what I thought of. Start saying, you know what I just created? You know what I've been creating today? It's a reminder to you that you are in a process, when you're thinking, especially, I'm going to talk about the different levels of thinking in just a moment, you are basically in different periods of creation. And if you miss that, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to offend you, but if you miss that point, there's not much else you're going to get from this course. There's not much else I can do for you. You can't miss the fact that when you're thinking at different levels, and when I go through these different levels, it's really going to blow you away, but you are always in creation mode. Many people today live their entire lives on the basis of what I call seeing is believing. You've heard people say, seeing is believing, right? That's an old saying, seeing is believing. That is to say, the only images that they get emotionally involved with or that they get excited about are the ones they can discern with their physical senses. Oh, how blind they are. Because the individuals with real vision, down through the ages, have always known that that is not a correct principle, seeing is believing. Actually, the wise individuals, the coaches, the mentors, the teachers down to the ages, okay, have always known that the overriding principle is what you see is what you get. What you see in your mind's eye and your image making is what you get. See, expressed somewhat differently, what this means is that the images in people's minds actually precede the concrete or material images which pervade our material world. Therefore, you should be aware of the fact that the fascinating physical world that we see before us, as wonderful it is with all of its conveniences for making our lives more comfortable, have been largely built by image makers. Men and women of vision who knew what they could do, and they expected everything to fall into place. And here's a point, regardless of what their critics may say to the contrary. Now, there are three certain steps for achieving prosperity in all of your areas of life, and then we're going to move on really quickly to the laws of vibration and attraction. But these three certain steps for achieving prosperity are, number one, build the image in your mind. Remember that? Image making. We talked about that before. Image making. Number two, turn it over to spirit. We call that let go and let God. But basically, you create the image, and then don't worry so much about how it's going to come about. You know, create the image in your mind. Fasten yourself to it very, very tightly, very, very concretely, and then let spirit bring forth how it's going to actually come to pass. Okay? Oh, and then, by the way, be ready to take some action. Create a lot of activity. You know, you don't get to just sit in the chair, eat bonbons, and watch reality TV shows. But I'm saying, so number one, image, create it in your mind. Number two, turn it over to spirit. Number three, expect with all your heart and soul that spirit or universe will reward you openly for your faith or your expectation. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about these laws of vibration and attraction and what they have to do with expecting an abundance and how they play into each other. Okay? Understand that these particular laws, these are actually the key to understanding the entire course. The reason is, and some of this is going to get a little thick, again, I apologize, I'm going to do the best job I can do at making it very, very plain. And some of these laws I've studied for years and year over 20, some of these laws I've studied for over 30 years, actually. But the reason is this. See, the law of attraction, let's talk about the law of attraction. It's the underlying principle which governs the level of your personal prosperity. Now, that's so important we have to say it again. The law of attraction, it's a law that attracts things to you and you to things. It's the underlying principle which governs, it makes the rules, it decides the level of your personal prosperity. So if that's true, and I can't prove it, but if that's true, it would be important to understand that as a concept. Isn't it amazing they don't teach this in school, right? However, to help you achieve a really solid grasp of this concept, it's going to be necessary for us to focus briefly on another law named the law of vibration, because the law of vibration and the law of attraction work hand in hand. Now, the law of vibration accounts for the difference between mind and matter, okay? In other words, between the physical and the non-physical worlds, between the material and the spiritual world, okay? According to the law of vibration, everything vibrates or moves. Now, this part is scientifically proven over and over again. Everything vibrates or moves. There's no such thing as a solid object. I'm sitting on a chair right now. I'm sitting at my desk. They all appear to be solid. I have, you know, a glass of water in front of me. Everything appears to be solid except the water appears to be liquid. But let's be clear. Everything is vibrating and moving. Nothing sits idle, okay? That's science, all right? Everything is in a constant state of emotion. Constant state of motion, all right? Now, scientists refer to these things as rates of vibration, okay? Everything vibrates at a different rate. I vibrate, the energy that makes up my body vibrates at a different rate than the chair vibrates, okay? And these are called frequencies. Now, the higher the frequency, listen to this, the higher the frequency, the more potent the force. Now, since thought is one of the highest forms of vibration available, and you say, what is all this stuff you're saying? No, this is medically and scientifically proven, right? And I'm going to show you this in a moment. But since thought is one of the highest forms of vibration, it is very potent in nature. And therefore, it is very, very important that you really understand it, okay? To obtain a more graphic idea of what I'm talking about, let's do a simple exercise, okay? Now, if you're driving in a car or something like that, do not do this exercise, all right? Don't do this if you're in the car. Do it when you get home. But if you're at home or whatever, what I want you to do, I'm going to illustrate a little bit about the law of vibration. Just stretch one of your arms, just one, straight out in front of you. Just stretch your arm out in front of you and hold it perfectly still for a moment. Look at it, okay? Now, hold it still, and as you're holding your arms still, and you're holding it very still and you're looking at it, you're unable to perceive any motion in that arm at all. You know that, right? You see that you don't see any motion, right? Now, you can put your arm down. Just know this, okay? Know that scientifically it's been proven that the electrons which compose the arm, okay, are moving, shaking, quivering, or vibrating at a rate of 186,300 miles per second. That's while your arm is being still. So while the arm appears to be still, it's vibrating at 186,300 miles per second. That is scientifically measurable. The arm appears still to you, but in reality, it is in a constant state of motion. So you have to understand that if that much motion, is infinite. Now, all scientists agree on this, okay? We're not debating different religious theories or evolution. It's not about that. All scientists agree on this, okay? And so, so if your arm, which appears to be completely still to you, is actually vibrating at a speed that high, all right, which you can't even perceive with the naked eye, okay, but under a high-powered microscope, they're able to see it, measure it, and even film it, okay, you can understand that this law of vibration is very, very powerful in our lives, all right? Now, you know, let's talk about how this affects us on a day-to-day basis. Let me give you some examples that really will drive the point home. People, as a rule, would you agree with me? People, as a rule, can be classified one of two ways, either positive, which we usually call optimists, or negative personalities, which we call pessimists, right? Those individuals who are positive in their thoughts always tend to look upon the brighter side of life. You know, people always say, oh, Mark, you're such an optimist. You know, well, you know, it's a learned behavior, to be honest with you. I didn't start out that way in life, and that's a story for another time. I didn't start out that way. It didn't come natural. But it became a discipline that I decided to acquire at a very early age, okay? I was very blessed to have, you know, a person or some people in my life, one or two people in particular, and I decided to acquire those traits because I saw they were valuable even at a very small age, all right? So those individuals who are positive in their thoughts always tend to look upon the brighter side of life. With their faces turned toward the sunshine, they attempt to see what? The good. They attempt to see the good even in the bad. Such individuals habitually think thoughts of a positive nature and that they are a blessing to the world. So we could say they're in a positive vibration. Now, when they're in a positive vibration, they will therefore attract other positive type of personalities, people, situations, and circumstances to them. Negative personalities, on the other hand, habitually, what do? They look at the dark, the gloomy, the depressing side of light. Even the good holds some bad for them. They dwell on the bad. They dwell on the negative. They think about it. They anticipate it. They expect it. They invariably receive it. Because that's what they have been, what, thinking about? What did I teach you? Creating. That's what they've been creating. That's what they've actually been seeking. See, due to the negative vibration, which they keep themselves in, they, of course, can only attract other miserable personalities to them. And as you're aware, what do we say? We have some sayings, right? We say misery loves company. You've heard of that? Misery loves company. You've heard of birds of a feather flock together. It's true. Now, the good thing is you and I have free will. See, if you were raised around a household or a group of people and they were always negative and you unfortunately inherited a bunch of that or didn't quite, maybe you inherited part of it, maybe part of it is, I personally believe part of it can be DNA, part of it can be learned, part of it is some other things in between, I don't know. But in any way, if the lump of clay that you are, I mean that respectfully, you know, if the lump of clay that you are is more of a, you tend to be more toward the negative, you need to understand after this conference call tonight, you need to get over it because you have free will, okay? And I don't go for the people that go around, and say, well, this is just the way I am. You just have to accept me the way I am. No, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't have to, okay? Now, you can stay the way you are. You just can't stay the way you are in my space or in my life, you see? And so you have free will. You can choose which of these two personality types you wish to adopt. So therefore, if a person's constantly negative but tires of that state, if they don't want to be in it anymore, that person may, through awareness and proper effort, change himself or herself into a positive personality type of individual. It's all done with the human brain. Ladies and gentlemen, the human brain is so magnificent. It's probably the most efficient electrical instrument ever created. In fact, in final analysis by scientists and medical people, the brain is simply a vibratory instrument. Think about it. You say, well, the brain's a lot more than that. Well, sure it is, but it's basically a vibratory instrument. It's an electrical It's a highly tuned electrical instrument, and it vibrates and it gives off frequencies, and it also receives frequencies. Okay, and we know this. You know, since the early 1940s, we've had the medical communities had at their disposal EEGs. And they can read electrical activity of the brain. In fact, a lot of times when they're trying to determine, you know, an individual perhaps who's in a coma, who's suffered a terrible accident or injury or whatever, and, you know, they're on life support or whatever, you know, the couple of things that they measure is the cardiovascular, respiratory ability, you know, the heart and all that, you know, the breathing capabilities of the person. They're looking at that, and the other thing they monitor, you know it, the other thing they monitor is brain activity. Well, how do they monitor brain activity? They don't go in there, they don't cut them open and look in there and see if there's a cartoon going on. What they measure are electrical frequencies. It's, and you say, what does this have to do with making more money? I got on. Hold on. Somebody told me to get on this call to learn how to make more money. I am going to bring this point home to you right now. You see, vibrations are certainly not something which are new to us. Indeed, all of us have an awareness of them. However, the problem which we encounter is that the vast majority of people are not aware of the connection between their vibrations and their results in life. So for you, because you're on this call tonight, so you care about yourself and your family and your team and your community and your place of worship and your planet and all that, and you want to get better, it's for you to gain a better awareness of how you can take control over your results. That's what we're talking about. See, money is just one result. Money is just one form of energy. Abundance is just one form of energy. So for you to be able to manifest that in a physical plane, you have to understand you can't skip over this part. This is the part that creates that. You must go back to the basic premise with which we started, and namely that everything vibrates, nothing stands still. However, by virtue of your free will and the other many other mental factors in your marvelous mind, you have the co-creative ability to cause vibratory changes to take place at your very bidding. Isn't that fantastic? And then everything, listen carefully, get close to the phone. Here's a secret. And then everything else in this entire universe is connected to everything else in the entire universe through this law of vibration. And it's how you're connected to it. Just as surely, ladies and gentlemen, as the colors in a rainbow are connected in such a way that you're not quite able to tell where one color stops and the other begins, so too you are unable to distinguish where one thing, where you start and another stops. You are connected to everything in the universe. Whether you can see it with the naked eye or not is not important. Therefore, as soon as you choose certain thoughts, your brain cells become immediately affected. These cells vibrate and send off electromagnetic waves. When you concentrate on those thoughts, right? And I said, what have I been creating? You know what I've been thinking? No, what have I been creating, right? When you concentrate on these thoughts, you increase the vibration of those cells. You turn up the amps. And the electric waves, in turn, become much, much more potent. Now, I want to give you a very quick example. You know, I live in Tampa Bay, Florida. And there's a lot of radio stations down here. I don't listen to a lot of radio. I don't actually listen or watch a lot of things that I'm not in control of, because I like to control the things that are going into my mind. But I just wanted to give you an example. There's many radio stations down here. One of them, an FM station, is 95.3. Well, that's WXCV, and what they play are the current hits. Whatever's popular on the radio, whatever's popular right now, whatever people are buying, that's what they play. And that is at a radio frequency of 95.3. That's how you tune into it. You go to the frequency, which is 95.3. Now, only 0.4 points away, 0.4, at 95.7, is WBTP, and that is R&B music. So if you tune in to, listen carefully, if you tune in to 95.3 FM, you're going to get current hits. But a 0.4 difference away, like a hair of a difference away, at 95.7 is R&B music. Now, I'm going to say something that's so obvious to you, but you need to get this point. Now, if you know that for a fact, if that were written out in front of you, and if you lived in Tampa Bay and you were familiar with those radio stations, and I kept putting on 95.7, which is the station that's the frequency for R&B music, but I said, dadgummit, Jeff, I don't understand. I want to listen to the current hits. And Jeff is sitting there saying, well, Mark, that's on 95.3. That's on a different frequency. The reason you can't manifest what it is that you're after, which is R&B music, is you're just like a 0.4 frequency away on the FM band. But I keep going to the wrong band and to the wrong band and to the wrong band. All right? So you know how ridiculous that would sound? Well, that's what's going on with most of the people that are in the masses when they're not taking control of the electric way, the law of vibration, which is going in their own mind, okay? When you hold the image of your goal, okay, like when you fine-tune in to 95.3 to hear the current hits, when you hold the image of your goal on the screen of your mind in the present tense, you start vibrating in harmony with every particle of energy necessary for the manifestation of your image to appear on the physical plane. By holding that image, those particles of energy are moving toward you. That becomes the law of attraction. I told you the law of vibration and the law of attraction work together, and you are moving toward them, and that is universal law. You automatically... think about this. You automatically like people that are like you, right? You automatically like people that make you feel good. It would necessarily follow, therefore, that others like you when you cause them to feel good, all right? So what you want to do is you want to understand that this operates at every single level, which is why we say, you know, birds of a feather flock together and things like that, because it's true. Okay, you cannot receive a frequency. You cannot receive abundance if you're not vibrating at that level. But you know the good news? As soon as a person starts to think, his or her brain start, this brain cells start vibrating, energy is released immediately. Therefore, in the form of electrons, they travel out into the universe according to the intensity of the thought that's involved. So however much energy is behind that thought, it travels faster, okay? And then, now if this is all true, and that energy or spirit is neither created nor destroyed, and everything is in its original state, is either energy or spirit, it necessarily follows that everything you will ever want, and this will blow you away, everything you ever will want is already here. In fact, you already have it. In fact, it is simply a matter of choosing the thoughts which will put you in harmonious vibration with the good that you desire. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some activities you're going to have to do also. Very likely there will be. But I'm telling you that where people goof this thing up, where they miss the train, is at this very first point. Everything that you're seeking is already seeking you in return. Therefore, everything you want is already yours. If this is true, there's nothing for you to go get. It is simply a matter of becoming more aware of what you already possess and then bring it into the material form. The moment you bring your life into harmony with the law, into harmony with the current divine order of things, you will find that the negative, it'll take wings. It'll leave you. For its cause will have been removed, and you will no longer attract what you don't want. What a great thought, right? To the secret to receiving on a physical plane, the result you desire is always locked into the law of attraction, which works hand in hand with the law of vibration. So what you want to do is get in harmonious vibration with the good that you desire. And then how to stay, learn how to stay continually in that positive vibration, and you will begin to attract whatever you need for your image of prosperity to move into form. Now, again, It's not that there won't be some work involved. I promise you that there will be. Now, not that there won't be some things to do. Very likely there will be. But ladies and gentlemen, this is an orderly universe. And I'm going to begin to wrap up with this. This is an orderly universe. Nothing happens by accident. The images which you plant in your marvelous mind instantly set up an attractive force which governs your life. You must remember, though, that if your image is continually fluctuating, if you let it go back and forth, positive, negative, positive, negative, positive, negative, all you're going to be continually doing is growing into something different and set in motion a very chaotic process and a very chaotic life. You must learn to replace the negative thoughts, which are seeds. You need to replace those with the positive, affirming ones that you want to hold on to. You know, and unfortunately, those individuals who you see who are unaware of these very exact laws are planting images of plenty in their minds one minute and then images of poverty the next. And they're continually switching vibrations. Think about the two radio stations I mentioned. I know and I see people like this all the time. They're up, they're down, they're up, they're down. That'd be like switching back and forth. What if I took the radio dial? What if I got in your car and switched back and forth between two radio stations every second? You know, this station, that station, this station. Can you think of anything more annoying on the planet? I mean, you'd make me get out of your car, right? I mean, it would be so annoying. You wouldn't be able to hear any kind of music. There'd be no discernment of any type of real music or any enjoyment because it'd be pure chaos. And yet that's what people allow themselves to do in their thinking because they take it so casually. The sad truth is the vast majority of people spend their entire lives oscillating between these two extreme positions. And the resulting effect that their lives become is disordered and chaotic to the nth degree. So, although it's true that everything you'll ever want is already here, it is up to you to get into harmony with it. Clearly, you will never get into harmony with prosperity if you insist upon holding images of lack and limitation in the storehouse of your marvelous mind. Let me say this differently to you again. You will never get into harmony with prosperity if you insist on allowing images of lack and limitation to keep renting a room in your mind. Since you are always magnetized towards something, it follows it can never be anyone else's fault when something comes into your life that you supposedly did not want. Understand something, and this is tough, but you ordered it right off the menu, and it's being delivered to you and right on schedule. Okay, as we wrap up, practice image making on purpose and your partnership with God, the universe, and universal law this week. Practice the expectation of abundance. Notice the thoughts that appear in your mind all week. Make a conscious decision to accept and concentrate on them, thereby increasing their vibrations or deciding that the thought is not what you desire to manifest, and then cancel it out with a thought of what you do want to materialize. Replace, although you may not want to say it out loud because then you'll have the rap that I've got, but you may want to say it out loud. It's up to you. But replace I was thinking with I was creating. You know what I was just thinking? You know what I was just creating? I just had a thought. I just had a creation. See, many people might think you're strange if you say it out loud, but ladies and gentlemen, who really cares? Remember that every thought that you hold, you're constantly bringing to pass that thing and manifesting it in your life, especially with these three things: the frequency of your thought, the length that you hold that thought, and then the amount of emotion behind that thought. And then be back with us next week on Monday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, same call in number, same passcode, as we go deeper into You Were Born Rich. We're going to be talking about two great subjects, the risk takers and the razor's edge. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Mark Scovran live from Tampa Bay, Florida, and I'm grateful for our time together this evening. And what I want to say is vibrate a great week and create great results. Good night, everyone.